G2, number 5B.
Now, this bear layout I have shown with the ground category, can I say ground or basic category of the synonyms. Now, we have the same layout with the basic category of the four. And this is the next one we know. For instance, that we can have the word Christ, Christianity, and science is reflection of word Christ, Christianity, and science, you see, which we can call the, I don't know, the calculus layout. It's the layout of the Holy City, the 4x4, of which we were speaking such a lot. And here again, for instance, John Dolly showed us that this layout here is the layout, say, of the platform in the textbook. The whole textbook with its 32 points is laid out, always 2 points word of the word, 2 points word of the class, 2 points word of Christianity, 2 points word of science, and so on. So we see again there, he has shown us a layout, but we can find this layout in many other books, like for instance in Hebrew also, we can always find again and again this 4x4. Well, what has the platform to do with Hebrews? Apparently, quite obviously, they are two very different things. What's different? We must be able to explain that difference not by words, but by categories, by our own categories, and define them much clearer by our categories. And this is what we are going to show step by step. So, for instance, we can see that the whole, see for the one before was that mitzvah. Yeah, you got it. You see, again, keep that. Again, this, you see, which we had as Zechariah, which we had to lay out as Daniel, you see, the same layout is now naturally, when we take it over here into the calculus, for instance, if that would be the calculus of the prophets, of the 16 prophets, we would have it here, Zechariah, and here we would have Daniel, say. Well, you can see that if we would now put these on top of each other, we can see, oh, they are different, those layouts are different, because in another system, they appear at a different place. They are therefore, here Zechariah say, is the point of intersection of science as the Christ in the prophet, and Daniel say is the intersection of science as science in the prophet, and therefore those two different layouts become now a definite tone, because that which defines them as different is another structure, is another system. So that we begin to see that only then, when system is intertwined within system, like this, that then naturally we get the real sense and the definable sense of each layout, and then it is no more a layout, but then it is already a matrix. Alright, let's go further in that thing. So we have seen that it needs, as a whole, it needs the intersections of systems, you see, in order to get structure. Just one system, like the system of a synonym, is not yet structured, but when it is intersected, then we get structure. Now, let's go further and see what we get if we take a single synonymous term. That's the next one, mine.
Yes, Zechariah.
Oh yes, here, you see, I was in, see, that's what I was explaining before, you see, that the point of intersection as Zechariah and here as Daniel, therefore is defined by the layout, which is the same in both. The layout is the same in both. But it is defined by a new system, namely the system of the 4x4. And so this must convey something very different. That layout, which is the same, must convey this something different, namely signs of Christianity. And Daniel must convey the same layout from a different system, namely from the sign of signs. That's what I was trying to show. Now, we take another one, and we just take the mind, a mind matrix. See, instead of taking now, say, all the synonymous terms, we just pick out one. Could take out mind or spirit or soul. I just pick out one mind out of the category of the synonyms, and then I take the whole category of the four, you see, the holy cities, the 4x4, 16, and see that I can, see, now we come to the ninth point, that I can now get a structural sense of mind by asking what is mind in each one of these 16 points here. Naturally, say we can find it out through the 16 chapters of the textbook, which would mean that mind must have, in the first chapter, completely different meaning than it has in the second, and it's completely different in the third and the fourth, up to the 16th. That mind, so to say, if it is seen in its structural form, is showing in each one a different meaning, and all together, all 16 together, make the structure of mind. I have, therefore, a intersection of systems, of two, here of two systems, and all that together makes the structure of mind, and no more the definition of mind. This is, I think, the point which we perhaps have always asked ourselves, or anyway I have asked myself, if one takes up any scientific book on, I don't know on what, on chemistry, on physics, on electronics, or anything, what it may be. Well, the writer of a textbook defines his terms. He says, I use this term for this and this and this, and gives definitions, as I have said yesterday. And I have said yesterday that the scientists now begin to realize more and more that a definition is no more enough. That a definition is a definitizing something, the final making, whereas we see that in structure, as we will see afterwards, in structure there is a complete restructuring going on, and that therefore we shouldn't try anymore so much to define a term, but to get acquainted with it in its structure. Therefore, I come back to the question that when I was at the university and I had to read my textbook, there was always definition, what is inflation? Inflation is defined as this and this and this. What is inflation? Inflation is defined as this and this and this. What is balance of payment? It is this and this and this and so on. Now, when one dictates the textbook, one was looking for such definitions. And one was saying, well, Mrs. Eddy is talking about the world, and she's talking about the Christ, and she's talking about Christianity, and about science, she's talking about mind, and about spirit, and about soul. Why doesn't she have somewhere in her textbook a statement where she says, now I use the term mind, and with the term mind, I mean this, and this, and this, and this, and give a definition of mind. And she doesn't. She doesn't give us a definition of the Christ. How cross I could be with Mrs. Eddy in those years when I said, what on earth do you mean with Christ? You say, I don't mean Jesus, but what do you mean then? And then I would go through all the 200 or 300 references, and every time when she would define Christ, she would define it differently. She would say, Christ is truth. All right, now Christ is truth. Next time, Christ is the divine message for God to men. Now, is it truth or is it a message? Can you see? Well, I got cross with her because she wasn't thinking so much ahead of our age, you see. I was trained in that old classical way, whereas she could anticipate already the structural sense, which does not have definition. A structural sense does not have definition, because a structural sense does not make anything final. But if the living structure, which is constantly restructuring itself, and therefore it cannot be made final. Now, here, for instance, we get the first glimmer of it, that mind cannot be defined just in a sentence, said with mind I mean this and this, but it must be a structural sense where each of the what you call in the roster, the net, you see, it is this 4 times 4, this 6 is like a net you lay on it. Is there a scientific term for a net which you use? A roster? Well, you put on mind, you put this 14, the net of this, you see, and within this, every time mind must mean something else.
Aroma.
Eh?
Must be aroma.
River.
Roma, R-O-M-E-R.
Oh, I don't know that word. Maybe that, but I don't know the word. So, sorry.
The great.
A great. Yeah, yeah. Great. Great.
G-R-I-D.
Great.
Great.
You know it. So when I say it wrong, you know what it is right. So can you see that in this, if say, if we study the textbook and ask ourselves, not only as we did it in John Rowley's time, and just went through all the references of mind, and were religiously writing out the characteristics of what mind is and what it does and how it expresses it, until we had a whole list of ideas, you see. I remember those wonderful years we felt, the bigger the list we had, the more we got hold of the term mind. See? Well, this was an additive way, you see. It was not a structural way. Now, today we naturally begin to study mind in a different way and feel our way to say, what is mind in here, in the one? What is it in the two, in the three, in the four, until we have the 16? And that all together is mind. You see? So we get away from the sense to say, tell me in one word, tell me in one sentence what is mind. Tell me quickly, you know. That doesn't work that way. Now, naturally, to get the structure of mind, or the term mind, is something which is not very easy. I think it needs the study of the textbook very conscientiously, with spiritual sense. Second, it needs scientific sense, scientific spiritual sense, and it needs the right scientific methodology to find it out, or else we don't find that structure. For instance, we would see that we can check ourselves on our findings. If our findings are right in these 16, we can check ourselves in this way, that all these here, the 1 to 4, must have a common denominator, namely the common denominator of the word. And all these here must have a common denominator, namely that of the Christ, or our findings are not right. They must have here the common denominator of Christianity, or our findings are not right. And they must have here the common denominator of science, or our findings are not right. And this is saying the least, because, and this, perhaps you see, this is not dogmatic. I don't know if this is, say, I feel on the first go that all these must have a sense that mind is all, whatever comes here, or that here always the power of mind as the Christ. Christ is the power of mind. Or that in Christianity the allness with a small a is being brought out of mind. Or that in the last one, the oneness, the onlyness of mind's idea is being brought out. Then if that is right, and don't copy it, because this is, I think, on, which is in the flow, in the making and so on, but I just want to give the methodology, the problematics of it, to see how we will get a structural sense of mind, that not just a word additive sense of mind, a list of words. Now, naturally, this would only be the first categorization of it. Naturally, here, this, all this, the 1, the 5, the 9, the 13, would have had to have a common denominator. Or our findings are not tried either. See, and so with the tribe in Christianity and science, they would have had a common denominator. And we would have to be able to define them. And can you see what we would do with that? We would again make it more, use again the principle of redundancy, which takes 16 points and reduce it already to 4 and 4 to 8. And so more we can take the abundancy, the redundancy of fact, and through the principle of redundancy, you see the principle of redundancy, that principle which takes the redundant facts of being and puts them into such simple super symbols that they are getting less and less symbols and yet don't take away from the redundant infinitude of the subject. Bhakti Fuller says that much simpler than I did. He says that the principle of redundancy is that we can get with less and less and less, more, more, more. That's how he puts it. He has a nice way of putting very big things in a simple way. So, can you see how the method, or how we would check our findings in this structural way? Now, the same way as we just looked at the mind matrix and see mind in a structural way, we can actually also take any other term like evil. Not only the positive has its a structure, but now you must take away the red one. Can you see here is a so-called evil matrix? You see, what is evil? And if one listens to discussions among people, Christian scientists or not Christian scientists, what is evil, how to define evil, well, we get lots of answers. And which one is right? And if one doesn't know a structural sense of a term, naturally one begins to quarrel and to argue with each other, and the one says evil is this, and the other one says no, evil is that. And who is right? Like the term sin, we could also make a matrix of sin, with something which is always under much discussion. In the Old Testament one says, well, evil is missing the mark, and then the New Testament came and said, oh no, sin is not living by faith, and perhaps later we came and said, well, sin is by not accepting one's oneness with being. Well, who is right? So, again, not a single answer or an answer by a definition really can give us the answer. It's the structural sense that gives us the answer. So here again we could take, and it's quite interesting to do that, to take the question of evil, say through the 16 chapters of the textbook, and see How is the problem of evil answered or tackled? Not answered, tackled in each one of the chapters. And it's most interesting to see that she practically never repeats herself. Naturally, from here and there, she has to remind perhaps what she has said a few chapters beforehand. But the main tone, the main way she would tackle the question of evil would always be in a different way in the 16. Now, in which way? Again, therefore, next, we would have to see, you see, that the vertical, the answer to the vertical, must have a common denominator, namely that of the word. I feel, now don't write down what is in red, because this is open to investigation, open to clarification. It is as if in the first four she would always show the worst sense of evil, namely how to free ourselves from evil. In the second one, that she would give a cry sense that evil has no power, we can at once catch the tone, or in the Christianity sense, show the supremacy of good over evil, Christianity being supreme. So all these must have somehow a answer to this, and in the last one too, it must have a common denominator, the proving of evil as to this proving of good as to disproving of evil, you see. So, somehow we would then really get the clear, complex answer to the question of evil. For instance, in this vertical here, where she shows how to free, or to free ourselves from evil, you can see very clearly that she will deal here from the word sense by saying, well, you must have first of all the desire to get free of evil. Then in the Christ it is always the command to free yourself from evil. In the Christianity it is quite clearly that you must have ascendancy over evil. And then in the last one shows for the first time the understanding that evil is nothing. And so this is the freeing of ourselves from the question of evil. You can see quite gently the moment you have a touch, we have a feel, we have a tone of the force, that these things then become quite natural to us and are very definite to us. All right.